How does error find its way into the church? I've written an article in the latest edition of the online Issues Etc. journal titled From Exception to Rule, How Error Replaces Truth in the Church, and we'll send it to you for free. Just send your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Jordan Cooper details his journey from Calvinism to Lutheranism. The latest Issues Etc. journal, journal@issuesetc.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're going to talk ghosts for the next half hour of the program with Pastor Jeffrey Grams. Now, this is one you might just scoff at. You might say, I don't believe in ghosts. There's no such thing. And you might have a reason for believing that. Maybe you just are scoffing at the notion of ghosts. What does the Bible say in answer to the question, are such things real? How do we deal with the many accounts? Some of them even come from otherwise very well-meaning Christians, sincere Christians, who in grief, in sorrow, sometimes in fear, believe that they have seen a loved one in some form who has departed this life. Now, how do we deal with claims such as this in a biblical way and yet still try and take seriously the experience that this Christian may or may not have had? If you have questions or comments as we talk about ghosts for the next half hour of Issues Etc., give us a call, 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MYIE. You can send us an email right here in the studio. TalkBack@issuesetc.org. TalkBack@issuesetc.org. You can send us a tweet at IssuesETC or visit our Facebook fan page and become a fan there. Facebook.com/IssuesETC. In the second hour of the program, Mark Hemingway is going to join us. He's online editor for the Weekly Standard. Last night was probably the most watched so far, the most watched of the GOP presidential candidate debates in Manchester, New Hampshire. A handful of candidates gathered there. There were some surprising, well, not so surprising announcements. There was a very ironic atmosphere. I wonder why. And we'll talk about it with Mark Hemingway in the second hour of the program, to be followed by a conversation with Dr. Dan Gard as the church remembers the Old Testament prophet Elisha on this Tuesday afternoon, June the 14th. Pastor Jeffrey Grams is pastor of St. John Lutheran Church in Scottsbluff, Nebraska, and author of an article in a recent issue of Higher Things magazine titled Ghosts and the Gospel. Jeffrey, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd.
Why the fascination, the interest, the questions that so often come up from Christians and non-Christians about ghosts?
Well, there certainly is a lot of fascination. I know with my youth, the fascination probably arises mostly just out of the culture in which they live. I mean, there's millions of mentions of ghosts. There's television shows. There's video games. There's an obsession. But I think that the cultural obsession goes both to a biblical illiteracy because, you know, we're in a growingly illiterate culture that doesn't really understand spiritual matters and is looking for answers. And also the tendency to look for hope in worldly things instead of the gospel. So people are looking for some evidence, proof, existence that life somehow goes on.
So let's lay down a definition so we know what we're talking about here, because we don't want to deny that people survive death.
Yep.
We don't want to deny that. We do not want to deny that there are biblical instances of communication at God's instigation between the dead and the living. How would you define ghosts in the sense that we need to define it so we can answer it biblically? What kind of claims are we talking about?
Well, when most people seem to ask about ghosts, they're asking whether or not the spirits of those who have died can still be seen or heard somehow wandering the earth. Very often they're described as people tormented, seeking peace, wanting some kind of closure or resolution. That seems to fit the pop culture description here. And really, in some ways, that's the most troubling perspective from a Christian worldview that you could have, is that somehow that when our loved ones pass away, they're not at peace in the Father's keeping. They are not rejoicing in life everlasting, but they're sort of stuck in my backyard in a half disembodied state, worrying about where they left the tools, you know. And yet that seems to be what people mean when they use this reference ghosts in terms of a pop culture reference.
So it's this restless spirit that for one reason or another can't leave this realm and appears either willingly or unwillingly to the living. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about ghosts.
Most often when my youth or even adults ask questions about it, it's the spirit of someone who has passed on that is still here.
What does the Bible say in answer to the question, does that happen?
Well, I mean, Scripture is pretty clear. Hebrews 9:27 says it's appointed for a man to die once, and after that comes judgment. I mean, that's pretty short and sweet. Jesus told the thief on the cross, everybody remembers that Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. It's not like, well, just float around for a while, and, you know, when I get around to it, I'll swing by and collect you. It was an immediate thing for him and for us. And Jesus, in John's gospel, promises that there's no lack of guidance either. It is Christ who comes, and because he has prepared a place for us, will come and take us to himself so that we can be with him. So no wandering looking for the light, no confusion as to which way to go. We know as Christians that when we die, our Savior's right there waiting for us to take us home.
And so whether someone dies in Christ and departs to be with Christ, or dies apart from Christ,
and receives judgment, right?
It, one way or the other, they pass from this life into the world to come.
Right, right. And Scripture is pretty clear on that, and yet there seems to be this pop culture understanding that people are waiting around.
Now, let's talk about some people might view them as troublesome examples, but they're undeniable in Scripture, that people who are dead do appear, and perhaps the example par excellence is the transfiguration of Christ, where two guys, long dead, and we're talking long, long dead, appear with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. Tell us the story, and what are we seeing there, if not ghosts?
Well, I mean, first of all, I'd like to address the idea that in our modern culture, we have this strange, almost a remnant of Greek philosophical idea of soul and body being very separate things, being very distant from each other, almost like the soul's just sort of attached by a very thin thread to the flesh, and that death is just the breaking of that silver cord. For us in Scripture, our self, our entire being, I think the Hebrew word is nephesh there, is a complete whole. And so when you talk about Moses and Elijah appearing on the mountain, biblically, you don't have them being like somewhat translucent, see-through kind of guys. They're really there. I mean, all of them in their entirety. That is Moses. That is Elijah. And that would mean body and soul, the whole person. So, you know, in terms of ghosts, clearly they're not indicated that they would be just there on a spiritual basis. When you get into the more entertaining theological speculations on the Transfiguration, you notice that Moses and Elijah have a little bit of a unique biblical history. We know God took care of Moses' burial, and Elijah, well, he never got a funeral. So, if you're looking for their bodies, not only are their souls in the Father's keeping, but so is their flesh. But that leads us to some pretty entertaining realms of possibilities there.
Apparently, the belief in ghosts, or at least the possibility that ghosts could exist, was at work because at the very resurrection account, what the disciples first think they're seeing is, in fact, the ghost of Jesus rather than Jesus himself. What's going on
there? Yeah, this is nothing new, is it? I mean, this goes all the way back. You have Old Testament instances of sorcerers and witches trying to communicate with the spirits of the dead. You have clearly this has pervaded our cultural understanding since probably shortly after death entered the world. So this is certainly nothing new. It was certainly nothing new to the apostles. But Jesus once again dispels that misunderstanding over and over in his own appearances by saying, see my hands, see my side, touch me. He was held, he ate, he drank with his disciples, which are things that obviously a ghost cannot do.
Then there is the Old Testament account, which seems as close to a ghost story as you can get. And there is some debate as to whether or not this is a demon masquerading as Samuel the prophet after death, or whether it's Samuel the prophet after death. But the famous witch of Endor that Saul consults to bring Samuel up for one last prophetic session, and lo and behold, to both of their surprise, it actually happens. What's your pastoral opinion on that strange Old Testament story with about a minute before our break?
Well, I'm glad you asked for a pastoral opinion, because the bottom line is my big concern in answering a lot of these questions with people is that they not be persuaded by all sorts of pop culture references or false witnesses to start seeking the counsel from the spirits of the dead. Scripture makes it abundantly clear that that is forbidden and an abomination. The scholars can debate to the end of days whether or not the real spirit of the prophet was allowed to speak for the sake of the king, or whether or not it was a demon masquerading. But we know in either case it was counted as sinful and wrong and inappropriate for the king to do so. And so whether it happened or not, it would have also been by God's permission. We can never...
Well, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about ghosts. Pastor Jeffrey Graham is our guest. It's Tuesday afternoon, June the 14th.
Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues, Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues, Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues, Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues, Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
How does error find its way into the church? I've written an article in the latest edition of the online Issues Etc. journal titled From Exception to Rule, How Error Replaces Truth in the Church, and we'll send it to you for free. Just send your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Jordan Cooper details his journey from Calvinism to Lutheranism. The latest Issues Etc. journal, journal@issuesetc.org.
Theology for blue collar, white collar, and clerical collar. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Well, so far in our conversation with Pastor Jeffrey Graham, we have established that if the Bible is allowed to answer the question, ghosts don't exist, Although we've dealt with some of the examples that some people would call ghost stories from the Old and New Testament in the Bible. Sometimes this is, someone will say, look, I got to believe that Grandma still communicates with me. I think she's with me all the time. I think she tells me things. She guides me. That you would be surprised how many Christians sincerely believe that their sainted loved ones still stick around in some sense, are with them at key times in their life, guiding them, instructing them, warning them, protecting them. It's very interesting. And you would think, oh, well, that's those crazy Roman Catholics who believe in that kind of stuff. No. Mainstream, pop American evangelicalism, they believe grandma's watching them through the holes in the floor of heaven and the tears are falling down too. But the Bible says no. No matter how comforting it may be. That's what I want to deal with you next, Pastor Grahams, and that is a lot of Christians say, what's the harm if it helps someone through the mourning process for them to believe that husband or wife or grandma is still with them in that ethereal sense and still comforting them even though physically they're gone?
Well, the primary harm comes because we end up looking for comfort in the wrong places, places that can't genuinely give it. They're more illusion than truth. And it's only the truth that grants us peace and the truth that sets us free. I find it far more comforting to know that my beloved grandmother is at peace with God and resting in Christ and has no more worries and concerns for this world, at least for her sake. Do we still miss our loved ones? Of course. Do we need to feel a sense that they're not too far away from us? Yes, but where do you seek that becomes the question. So often I have reminded my own people that the closest place that I believe you can be on earth to your loved ones is not at a graveside or watching old videos, but at the Lord's Supper, because this is truly the communion of saints. This is the place where we come together in Christ. This is where Christ gives us his body and blood, and our loved ones are with Christ. And if we are that close to Christ, how far can they be from us? There's a true comfort to be found there at the rail, as opposed to wandering in the woods trying to speak to some spirit of a dearly departed loved one. So part of it, the harm comes from seeking comfort in the wrong places and depriving yourself of the genuine comfort that will come by finding comfort in the right places.
So it's not that seeking, and here we're not talking about communication so much as communion, Christian communion,
right.
with those
Absolutely.
Who have died in the faith. It's not that that is a wrong thing to do per se. It's that Christ has given us that communion in the Lord's Supper with himself and therefore with all who have died in him.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And what a great comfort is to know that you are with them and that they are with you, but in Christ, in the supper, in the communion of saints. Not that you need advice from grandma. All the truth you ever need for this life and life everlasting is given to you in Christ and the scriptures. And there, too, you see the problem. If you're seeking advice on life and marriage and relationships and jobs from a departed grandfather instead of seeking truth and Holy Scripture, you're depriving yourself of the truth that is actually given, and can frankly pretty easily fall prey to deceiving spirits and those who might mislead you. Because while there are no ghosts in the sense of dearly departed dead wandering around lost, Scripture does make it very clear that there are spirits in this world, and there are demons, unclean spirits, who would like to deceive the children of God.
Does that explain some of the otherwise unexplainable claims about the appearance or interaction with the dead?
I think it does, absolutely. When you talk to young people about, for example, Ouija boards are often associated with an attempt to actually interact with and ask questions of those who are dead. And someone will claim, well, that Ouija board, through that experience, I was told where my grandfather's pocket watch was lost, and who could have known that but him? And the answer is quite simply, the Lord, the devil and whatever demons may have been watching all knew where that pocket watch was. And the demons love to use false evidence like this to prove to us that they are not who they are. That's part of deception.
Another thing that often goes with a belief in ghosts is fear. And that is people who have somewhat credible claims that they are being troubled in their life, in their house, whatever it may be, we would say haunted by the dead. What would the Bible instruct us with regard to responding to that, or at least attempting an explanation of what's going on there?
Well, we as Christians find comfort in the promise that, first of all, we are baptized. We are filled with the Holy Spirit. We are watched over by the angels of God. We are protected against the enemies of light and truth and good, because our Lord is with us always. He never leaves or forsakes us. So first, we simply find comfort in the promises that God has made us as his baptized children. But when my members, for example, might be feeling afraid or struggling with some kind of situation, I encourage them to pray out loud in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to ask his help to defend us from evil. He has given us this gift of prayer, and he has promised to hear those prayers and grant us his peace. I have had members call me in at 3 a.m. dealing with troublesome issues of this nature, and we have prayed the Lord's Prayer together right on the phone. So feel free to bug your pastor even in the middle of the night, too. Sorry, pastors, but that's the way it goes. and we rejoice to have the comfort that the Lord is with us and hears those prayers. You remember, of course, that the Lord's Prayer specifically asks God to deliver us from evil or from the evil one. And I also encourage maybe Dr. Luther's evening prayer that says, "Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me." Over and over, we see the Lord praying. We see him praying as he is tested by the devil. And so we follow his example, and we seek comfort in the word and promise of God and in prayer.
Say a few words about that, because while the Bible is clear that we do not interact with the departed, there is, without a doubt, the Bible's clear word that at God's command, his ministering spirits, not the departed, but angels, are constantly guarding us and safeguarding us. Talk about that for a minute, if you would.
Yeah, that can be a beautiful and comforting thing if we remember that the ministering spirits, the angels of God, are with us, and we are never alone. If we are feeling troubled in an evening and feeling frightened in the dark, we are guarded, we are protected. When we discuss the spiritual realms and the things that are beyond our comprehension, things that we cannot always understand or see, we should indeed recall that God's truly present with us, and God's angels, just as they did throughout the entire Old Testament and through the Holy Scriptures, are also watching over us, his people today. We are called by name. We are children of God. We are precious in his sight. He does not leave us without protection. So sometimes my members will ask, "Pastor, why don't you preach about spirits more?" And ironically, one of the reasons why I think you don't hear so much preaching about it in Lutheran circles is because we are at peace. We don't fear constant oppression from evil spirits all around. We are guarded. We are protected. We are baptized. We are filled. We are children of God. And unless the circumstances arise where we feel the need, it doesn't trouble us on a daily basis.
Pastor Jeffrey Grahams is pastor of St. John Lutheran Church in Scottsbluff, Nebraska, author of an article in a recent issue of Higher Things magazine titled "Ghosts and the Gospel." Thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd. It was a great joy to be on with the listeners today. Keep up the good work.
Special thanks to Pastor Michael Walther in Good Shepherd Lutheran Church right here in Collinsville, Illinois. Good Shepherd is a longtime member of the Issues Etc. 300, part of our congregational sponsorship program. Your congregation can also sponsor Issues Etc. We ask that you do it in your annual budget. to the tune of $1,000 or more. That makes your congregation a member of the Issues Etc. 300. We consider it part of the backbone of our listener support, this congregational sponsorship program. If you're interested in asking your congregation about joining the Issues Etc. 300, we made it easy for you to do. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support. There's a one-page flyer there that you can print off and take to your congregation. It'll tell them everything they need to know about being part of the Issues Etc. 300. Thanks to all the congregations who support us in this way. And as budget deadlines approach for many congregations, make it a priority to ask your congregation about joining the Issues Etc. 300. In Hour 2 of Issues Etc., live this Tuesday afternoon, the 14th of June, Mark Hemingway of the Weekly Standard joins us. I'm interested to hear what he has to say. So many have chimed in the last several hours. I'm interested to hear what he has to say about last night's GOP presidential debate in Manchester, New Hampshire. Then we'll talk about Elisha, the Old Testament prophet, with Dr. Dan Gard of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Hour 2 of Issues Etc., live this Tuesday afternoon, in 7 minutes.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.